been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Happy Star Wars weekend, everybody! That's right! The Last Jedi is, I think the first screening is happening as Josh and I record this on Thursday night. So let me just tell you, when I promote or promo the Facebook later on in the show, I will not be reading any of that this weekend because I'm not seeing the movie until Sunday, and I'm going on a social media blackout. And what else do we want to see on Sunday? We want to see another blackout of the Browns by the Ravens. And joining me, as always, to talk all things Ravens and maybe some Star Wars stuff too, my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
I'm excited too, man. You know, I kind of had my plans crushed. Let me share you a little bit of insight about the movie. You know, 2 years ago, Force Awakens opened, right?
Right.
Okay. And it was a tradition. Obviously, my brother lives out of town. For all who don't know, my brother lives in Tennessee. So he visits. I see him once a year, which sucks. But I cherish the time he's here. He comes for Christmas. He maybe does the occasional Thanksgiving, but that's whatever. So looking at the movie, I'm like, okay, well, we did Force Awakens as a big group and as a family for Christmas present. So I was like, okay, Star Wars Last Jedi, we're doing it when he comes home. I was like painting because I was like, you're right, I have to go almost on a blackout altogether, because it's like, if I wait till the week of Christmas till he comes in, it's like a week and a half. I don't know if I can wait that long. So he breaks the news to me this week. Oh, he's seeing it tonight, Friday. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me, man. So he's like, well, I'll see it again. And I'm like, okay. And then my cousin's seeing it, obviously, tonight. You know, my brother's seeing it on Friday, obviously recording Thursday, and my cousin's seeing it tonight around like 11 o'clock, and it was funny. I should have known better, but I was like, just for giggles, I'm going to pull up all the theaters within like a 30-mile radius. All showtimes from 7 till midnight sold out. Couldn't find anything anywhere. I think the closest one was like an hour and a half away. I'm like, I'm not driving that far. So I probably won't be seeing it tonight, which is perfect because I go in late to work tomorrow, so it would have been perfect. But it is what it is. I'll probably see it eventually, whether it's this weekend or next weekend, or see it twice or three times. But I cannot seriously wait for this movie, dude.
All right, so let me tell you, I'm going on a social media blackout. I can't wait for this movie. And here's why I'm doing the blackout, okay? Everybody, if you haven't seen Episode 7, The Force Awakens, I'm going to give you a couple seconds here. I'm going to talk spoilers of Episode 7 that came out 2 years ago. So this is your chance to fast forward the podcast. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Okay, now we're going to talk spoilers. So this is what happened to me opening weekend. So the movie comes out on a Thursday night. I said I'm not going to any Star Wars sites I normally go to. So I'm on a pro wrestling Reddit page, Squared Circle. This guy posts Friday night at like 11 and says, the best heel move I've ever seen. For you guys that aren't wrestling fans, heels are the bad guys. They need to get heat from the crowd, which means they need the crowd to boo them. So I'm like, all right, the best heat they've ever seen. I'm like, all right, I need to check this out. I click on it. There's a dude standing in the middle of a wrestling ring wearing a white t-shirt, and on his t-shirt, again, spoilers here, it says Han Solo dies. And I'm just like, oh my God, you have got to be kidding me. This is how I get spoiled? Really? Come on. And then I went, you know what? I respect that guy because, man, that is that a great way to get heat from the crowd. But really, you spoiled it for me. Come on. Killing me. So this time around, I said, opening weekend, I have to see it. I waited a week and a half till after Christmas last time. Not again. It's not happening again.
So he's not getting any Christmas gifts from you this year?
No.
Well, it's funny you say that, but last year or 2 years ago, dude, I can't believe it's 2 years. We were forced to wait almost a week and a half because when my brother got here, every night for like four nights straight, showtimes were sold out for advanced tickets. People were eating them up. And it's even worse now because you can buy tickets well in advance, like a month in advance for the dates. So like – instead of like the old times where it's like maybe a few days prior to the show because of blockbusters, like when I bought my tickets for Justice League, I bought mine a month in advance. Like as soon as it went on sale, we got back row, center, like best reserve seats, best you can get. And, you know, that's just how it is. And it's good. But I mean, I'm not worried. I'll see it eventually. But I got to avoid spoilers at all costs, man. It's almost like some people who I know record the Ravens games, like if they end up working on a Sunday or and they try to like not find out the score, you're going to find out somehow, whether you someone says it or like if you're in the grocery store, you can't avoid it unless you like sit in your house, throw all electronics in the dumpster and like sit in your house and don't talk to anybody. You're going to find out. So, yeah, so I just feel like it's really tough. So I commend you for the 2 day blackout. Let me know the reviews next week when we reconvene, man, because I'm excited. But that, dude, hopefully no one epic dies and no one finds about it prior.
Yeah, that's right. So you got to check out, if you are a Star Wars and a Ravens fan, you got to check out the Ravens Twitter feed, Facebook, wherever. They did a Darth Sizzle promo.
It's pretty good.
It is really cool. I won't spoil it's that cool. for you, but it's really cool. But let's actually talk some football here.
It well, is, like this is not a Star Wars podcast.
I know. Hopefully the Force is with us on Sunday.
Nice segue.
The
Ravens sharp tonight.
The Ravens are up against the winless Browns, and
the winless Browns?
Winless Browns.
They're
that's
still dangerous. So let's not call them. They are winless, but they're still dangerous, brother.
That's right. So let's go over the injury report real quick. Not a lot of talk about Ravens wise. Mike Wallace is the only guy that did not participate. It was due to an ankle injury. He's saying that he's not 100%. He's 99.9% and that he's ready to play on Sunday. But still, in the back of your mind, you got to worry a little bit with how weak that the passing game is right now with Wallace and Macklin and Chris Moore. That, you know, Joe doesn't have as many targets. You want these guys on the field. Wallace, it sounds like he's playing, but is this more of like a maintenance day for a guy his age? Because, you know, he is a little bit older than the typical player.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, it's no harm, no foul. Harbaugh's given them the proper rest they deserve. I would call it the what they call it, the Veterans Day here in Baltimore. Usually it's, you know, they give them that the blessed day off that they seek, and that's good. You know, the veterans deserve it. They earned it. I think it's just an extra day of, hey, we need you on Sunday. Just get healed and get 100%.
Yeah, so, I mean, hopefully that's nothing to worry about. Now, looking back at the Steelers game, obviously Joe Flacco and Jeremy Maclin weren't on the same page. It was kind of discouraging to see that these two guys weren't really gelling well together. I think this is the perfect game to get these guys back on track because, again, the Browns are winless. You're saying they're dangerous, but at the same time, you know, this Joe and Maclin – this could be a perfect opportunity for them to kind of work out the kinks a little bit more as we get closer to January.
I mean, it can. I mean, it's an opportunity to work on that craft. But the reason why I say I'm dangerous, it's the NFL. It's week to week. I mean, look what happened. Again, the Dolphins weren't winless, but the Dolphins were the Dolphins. And you're telling me on Monday Night Football how great the Patriots have been all year. They started 2-2 and just pretty much won every game since. The Steelers started 3-2 and won every game since. And you're telling me that they led a Jay Cutler-led football team on Monday Football, beat them and beat them soundly. And the Patriots were 0-10 on that game on third down conversions. Just think about that. I think they were held for 0-4 third down conversions for the first time since like 91, like way early, man. So, I mean, it's a week-to-week league. So you never want to take an opponent lightly because they're the Browns, for one. They're the Browns, but how? I mean, we can just straight back to last year. We went in their house last year, second me and you were watching it. We were losing 20-0. Mm-hmm. And then we came back and won because of the Browns. The Browns had the lead on the Packers, which weren't led by Aaron Rodgers, who comes back this week, which look out NFC. The Packers are losing 21-7. What was the final score of that game? 27-21, the Browns didn't score a single point, and Packers won in overtime. So the Browns are going to brown. They've been in some games. They were leading against Pittsburgh earlier this year. Pittsburgh ended up getting them at the last second, of course. Go figure. So you cannot take them lightly. And we definitely want to hone in on this X factor. And I want to ask what your thoughts are, because I want to talk about this, because we've seen what Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger did in the passing game. They shredded our secondary. Okay. Now, with Dean Pease, which I'm very, very upset about, like hindsight 2020, if he can have it back, he would have Humphrey Shadow Brown. Oh, you think? So it's just, I don't know. That's a big coaching blunder, and that's a big red X on the resume. But here's another problem. The Ravens with A.J. Green in the division twice a year. Granted, they blanked the Bengals 20-0, but I feel like that game was last year. That was so long ago, and we've come so far at a 7-6 record. But A.J. Green twice a year. It was Josh Gordon twice a year. He's back for the Browns. We have Antonio Brown for twice a year. So the AFC North, I feel like the Ravens are behind, because the Ravens are the only team in this division that do not have a premier number one receiver. The Browns got theirs back with a three-year hiatus. A.J. Green's up there in Cincinnati. And you got the world's best Antonio Brown right now. I'm almost waiting for the Ravens to get that guy. We need a fourth big time receiver in the AFC North, and the Ravens need to land that guy. But you know, we'll see what happens in the next years to come. But what I want to see is here is how did the Ravens adjust? Because look what Josh Gordon's done since he came in. You have to be impressed with this dude. I don't know if you've really seen his physique, but the dude looks like he's ripped. He's never lost a step. He's got seven catches for 154 yards and a touchdown in two games. The dude is beasting, and little disclaimer, he is on my fantasy team this weekend, which I am in the semifinals, so I need all the scoring. I wouldn't be too thrilled if he went off and the Ravens lost, because it hurts our playoff chances, but it is what it is. I'll let the chips fall where they may, but what do we do with the Josh Gordon, man? Because this is a different Browns team than we faced in week two.
It is definitely a different team, and Josh Gordon is a fantastic talent, but what you do is you don't stick Brandon Carr on him.
Oh my God. No.
I think what you do is...
I was hoping you would say that.
Yeah. Jimmy Smith would be the guy to shadow Josh Gordon, and obviously Jimmy Smith is out for the rest of the year, so Marlon Humphrey, he's the guy, I think. And Marlon Humphrey had a great showing in Pittsburgh, and I want to see more of that from
his best game right now is a Raven.
Absolutely. And the best test for this guy is to have him paired with Josh Gordon the entire game. So Josh Gordon is really one of the only talents in Cleveland you have any kind of worry about. I mean, look at their DeShone Kizer, their quarterback. This dude loves interception. Marlon Humphrey, he's going to be the guy on Josh Gordon. We need to make Josh Gordon a non-factor. You take Josh Gordon out of this game, make him a guy who is not someone to worry about, and the Ravens will definitely win this game.
They will, man. And I don't want to sound too overly confident, but this is the game where you don't want to have that the proverbial letdown. You know, you get up for Pittsburgh, you lose the emotional game at the last minute, and you got to go to Cleveland. You're like, what's exciting about that? They're 0-13, blah, 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 or are they 0-14? I don't even know. They're 0-4. And it's like, okay, status quo. But this is the last road game of the year until if, you know, I'm not going to say when. I mean, we want to say when to be really extra positive here, but with the Ravens up and down and how they play, I'm going to give a big if, because nothing's right now set in stone. I say if they make the playoffs, they'll have another road game. But let's just call it what it is. You got to take it week to week, because we've discussed this time and time again. Right now, as it stands with the Pittsburgh Steelers beating us, as they did, and we let them beat us, this is a three-week playoff. Because if you lose, you're going to need help from other teams, and I do not want to scoreboard watch. I hate scoreboard watching, don't you? I hate that.
That's not
like
fun.
I hate just being at the game. I can't focus. If I'm at the Ravens game in person and we're playing at the same time another team is, I mean I can get away with looking at my fantasy team sometimes at the end of the first quarter at halftime, but I almost watch the scoreboard more than I do the live game, because I'm like, okay, what's going on? All right, what do we need to do? And I'm like, the Ravens need to take care of business soundly. And as Al Michaels said on Sunday night, it doesn't get any sweeter than that. It's the Browns, it's the Colts, and it's the Bengals, who are combined, 8-31, I believe. Mm-hmm. Like, it's unsettling how easy it is. So it's almost like, is it too good to be true? It's almost like you're waiting for the other shoe drop. Like, we're going to get beat by the Browns by 17 points. Watch, and Josh Gordon's going to go off, and we're going to sit here with eggs on our face going, ha, 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 I told you so. And I don't want that. But it just has that gut feeling of, like, you just don't know, man. But I don't want to say it, but they better not be a trap game here. It smells like a trap game, but the Ravens need to stomp them and take care of business and get out early and fast.
Yeah, the NFL Network Move the Sticks show, Bucky Brooks picked the Browns to win this game. So the Ravens,
I wouldn't be surprised.
The Ravens are not out of the woods. This is not.
No, they're not.
Yeah, the Ravens, and here's the thing. I don't think the Cleveland Browns can beat the Ravens, but the Ravens can beat the Ravens.
Or if, they would let the Browns beat them.
Right.
You know, if, like, with stupid mistakes or not getting up. Or I feel like this could be like the Tennessee game. It'll be a 7-point lead for the Browns late. We're trying to get offense going, and we can't make a play. But you, and what's going to be more embarrassing, Brandon, is we just put up 38 points and 5 touchdowns and a field goal on the board, okay, against the Steelers. And if we go into Cleveland and only score like 13 points, dude, I'm going to be embarrassed. Whether we win or lose, that's embarrassing. I'm not saying you need to score at least 38, but right now, if they don't get at least 25 points, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah, the Ravens need to go in, and they need – I think this is a great game for them to get their confidence back. If they were able to go out and get another shutout and get a fourth shutout of the year, I think the Ravens would be so incredibly proud of themselves. I would have no doubt in my mind they'd make the playoffs after that, because they would be so pumped up for the last two games, and they'd want to make history, I would think. Like, that's the thing I want them to go for, is go for that history-making and get, you know, 5 shutouts if you can. And that's very difficult to do here in the NFL, but if the Ravens can really put their minds to it, they can do it in Cleveland. They could get a shutout. This defense is healthy. They know they've made mistakes in the past, especially last week. I want right. them – when Eric Weddle, when he makes a mistake, he beats himself up. And he makes sure the next week he doesn't make that same mistake. So
yeah, I remember that with the Bears game where he missed that tackle. I mean, wouldn't that just a letdown? But he came back and was resilient. So I feel like these players, they make the mistakes, but they own up to them and fix them. I feel like other than a few hiccups here or there with some players that we have, it's not the same old song and dance. And I think the name of the game on offense is – I mean, it sounds cliche, but dude, take care of the football. Joe Flacco's mistake early really hurt the Ravens. If you recall, Joe put us behind the eight ball with that early mistake in the pick, and it was 7-0 and 14-0. Granted, the Ravens were resilient and came back, but I feel like right now they cannot afford to do that. Stupid mistakes. Don't turn a ball over by a fumble. Don't throw an interception, especially deep in their territory. You got to take care of the football first and foremost. I don't want to sound cliche again, but obviously in football, that's the name of the game. But here, number two, man, know the key to this game. Feed the beast, man. Alex Collins was running like a demon possessed. They couldn't stop the run. We got away from that, of course. Dude, keep it simple. If it's 3rd-and-2, 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-3, if the dude's averaging 4 or 5 yards a carry, give him the rock. Don't be getting cute and doing a little play action hitch route or an out route. We don't have, you know, Antonio Brown's running around the field. You know, we have mediocre playmakers, and that's what they are. It's Mike Wallace, Macklin, and Chris Moore. And I tell you what, I would love me to see some Chris Moore involved in the offense, man. I mean, we talked about the rapport with Macklin and Flacco. I don't see a concern there. It's just, you know, just one off. Macklin's still brand new. Flacco wasn't there in training camp or preseason, so we know that what that's like. He's a brand new receiver to the team. Wallace in his second year, the rapport is going to be there. And Chris Moore, if you not recall, Flacco handpicked him in the draft. I mean, people don't ever forget that, but he loved his hands, and I think it's showing right now. So give Chris one more playing time, like Collins, and I feel like these guys are the future.
Absolutely, and I want to see another touchdown by the that dude that turned into an offensive back. He was on defense. What was his name? Patrick Ricard. I want to see another touchdown from him. He was
my pick in the final roster, which I really love this play in the preseason, and I'm happy he made the roster.
Yeah. I want to see more from him. This is a great way to work out the kinks on the offense. This is a great way for the defense to kind of get their swagger back, because they've kind of been missing that a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, I think it was there a few weeks leading up to – it was there in Pittsburgh, but then when the pass happiness started, I think it just – it was devastating for the defense and being gassed. I mean, how many times do we got to talk about? They were on the field for, what, 80-plus plays probably, or close to that, or if not more. I mean, I want to get the final numbers on that. I'm very curious to know, but that can't happen. The Ravens need ball control. Don't be 3 and outs on offense and then getting the deep. What's worse for the football team is – let's say the defense got a stop, or they let a long drive, but maybe they intercepted it deep in the end zone, or there was a missed field goal, whatnot. Let's say the team was out there 5 or 6 minutes on possession time. Defense got off the field, gives the offense the ball. The offense goes 3 and out. the defense got to go right back out there, and if the offense, the opposing offense, does a long sustained drive, the defense is gassed, man. It's cold weather, man. It's tough, and the air's it's pretty thin. So it's to me, they cannot afford to do that. I feel like the offense and the defense have to work together and find the happy medium. Long ball control offensive drives for the Ravens would be well for the defense. Defense gets back on the field, does their job. It all is a well-oiled machine. But when the offense is on the field less time, the defense is on the field more, that is a recipe for disaster. If our offense is on the field more than our defense, that's usually a recipe for success. It can't spell it any simpler than that. In the NFL, it's easier said than done in any football game, in any sport. But in the NFL, it's how many times have me and you talk about, like, when Brady and Manning were always playing this, and I'm like, what's the key to beating Brady and Manning? You keep the ball out of their hands. How do you do that, Brandon? You ball control. You convert for third downs to first downs. You keep the clock running. You keep it moving, and you get long, sustained drives for scores and maximize every possession. You know, it's a tall order in the NFL, but the Ravens just need to get back to what works best for them. And I think when they get away from that, that's when the whole thing just goes to pieces.
That's right. Here's what I'm going to say. All right, so we'll leave it at this. The Browns, I brought it up earlier, they love to give up the ball. They love the fumble, interception. They are ranked, you know, at the bottom of the list on being able to control the ball. The Ravens love to take the ball away. They love to put their hands up, block a pass, something like that. We need a big game from Matt Judon or Tyus Bowser, somebody like that. Somebody needs to be a hero on the defense. And when the defense gets the ball, the offense has to make the Browns pay for that mistake.
Yes, so absolutely.
If there's a lot of turnover and then the Ravens come out and they're on the offense and it's three and out, then they're not going to win the game. But if they go out there, they eat some time off the clock, maybe they do get 3 points, not 7 points, that's fine. As long as the score continues to move, the Ravens will be able to get this win. So,
absolutely.
Josh, have we covered everything for this Purple Friday preview?
Short and sweet, man. I believe quote the Raven nevermore. I feel like this was a simple game plan. There's nothing more simple than just go in and beat the Browns, guys. I mean, how hard is that? Just go in and win.
Absolutely. And have some fun with this game. This is the game where you can enjoy yourself on the field. So,
I'll be honest with you here. If it wasn't for – I mean, I can never – I mean, everybody switches around. I'm not going to knock you for – because I know you have a great setup. Didn't you say you have the Senator Theater rented out for the balcony on Sunday?
I do. So, yeah, those who don't know there, remember, the whole story I told you about Star Wars, well – so I don't hear even anyone in the theater who may have seen it already. I rented the balcony of a theater with 36 seats.
Brandon's a baller, by the way. He invited me, but here's the thing, and I wanted to bring that up for the – and that's great, man. I'm very excited for you. And I love the Sandra Theater because how old school it is, man.
Oh, I love it, dude. It is such a beautiful theater. I'm a film guy. I work in TV. I love film. Going there, it's like going back in time. I love it.
That's why I like going there for the nice, great movies and usually the big premieres. Yeah, I took my friends to see Justice League. I wanted to take them there, but we couldn't make it down there. So I went down there myself. Any of the big movies I see down there. But the reason why I want to bring that up is I would join you, but it's like I can never always meet. You know me, Mr. Ravens fan, and I can never justify missing a game. But the magnitude that this game brings right now for being a basically a playoff atmosphere and we need to win, I know it's the Browns, but I feel like if we'd already had the playoffs locked up, I could probably justify sneaking in there with you and enjoying the movie, but I just knew myself I wouldn't be able to have a blackout of my own. I'd be pulling out my phone going, okay, what's the score? What's going on? Because I just know my mind just races. And it was like that when I was at that NASCAR race. Remember when I had the pit passes for my birthday and I missed that Oakland game? Dude, I was trying to enjoy the atmosphere, but I'm walking around on my phone like every update, like, okay, where are they at? What's the score? And it's just tough, man. So I hope you have a blast. Any other day, you know, I'm there 110,000%, but, you know, I can't wait to see it. Hopefully it's a, you know, great movie, great time. And, hopefully the Ravens will smash them and you don't really miss much other than a great blowout win. And we can cover it next week on the Red Eye Review and, move on to the final 2 weeks and, Christmas week, man, it's, upon us.
That's right. That's right. The season's almost gone. Who would have thought? This went by so quick.
Dude, I can't believe it. It was just like yesterday. We did the 2012 season and Super Bowl, and we met, and here we are wrapping up 2017. Man, we're week 15 in the NFL season. It's depressing.
Crazy. All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, tweet me after Sunday. you can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52, but I'm going to be in a semi-blackout. I probably won't be scrolling through people's, like, the time feeds and my Twitter feed and Facebook feed because I don't want to uncover something I don't want to see. But I'll certainly just, you know, pull out the Twitter the template and write my thoughts and be tweeting about the game. And but no offense to anybody if I don't follow your post this weekend. I just don't want to ruin anything unless I'm ready to see it. It's just how people are, man. And they don't mean nothing by it intentionally just putting it out there. I think people just get excited. I think you're a big fan of The Walking Dead. I know that.
Yes.
And a lot of people opted to record the show and watch the Ravens game on Sunday night, which was, of course, you know, lived up to its billing. But I know a lot of people showed up to work the next morning, and they were mad because they found out spoilers on the show. And I'm like, you just can't, because you're on social media, dude. You just can't stay away from it. So it's kind of like their own fault. Like, haha, I told you so. Because I'm like, why are you logging on? You know it's going to happen. Because you see people's reactions at the end of the episode, and you're like, oh my God, something starts to happen. You're like, okay, well, I don't even have to watch it now. So it's like, I just feel like, you know, it's the excitement this movie brings. It's Christmas season. It's one of the biggest movie franchises of all time. And if you're not a fan, you know, I'm not going to knock. You don't have to be. You're probably like, what's this Star Wars stuff they keep talking about? You know, it's not for everybody. I mean, I know a few people who've never seen a Star Wars episode, and my jaw drops to the ground like, what? Get right on that. But, you know, sweets is their own. And, I mean, you're a fan of Walking Dead. I can't stomach it. I tried. I'm just not a fan. But, you know, you don't hate me for it. You still record a show with me for the time being, right? So
for the time being.
Yeah. For the time being, until you're like, yeah, enough of this guy. He's not a Walking Dead fan. But, no, I just can't wait for what this weekend can bring. And, you know, just want to wind down the show, man.
That's right. So go over our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Again, if you want to talk about the Ravens, Browns, or anything else this weekend, talk to Josh over on Facebook. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an iTunes review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you're social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. There's no spoilers there. If you're a Ravens fan, no spoilers for the games or anything like that. Just tell people you are a Call listener, and then you know, they'll subscribe. So helping us out there a little bit. Again, happy Hanukkah to everyone celebrating Hanukkah this week. And please, if you are in the Maryland, D.C., Virginia, whatever area, watch Maryland Farm and Harvest on Maryland Public Television Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. I'm the editor for that show. You can watch old episodes on videos or on video.mpt.tv. You can check out old shows there. We're up to episode 5, I believe, of this season, and there's a lot of cool stuff coming up, so make sure you check that out. If you are in the Maryland area, the one that airs this Tuesday features a story of the Jarrettsville nursery that a lot of people go to and cut down their own Christmas trees. So there's a story we do on that farm, so definitely go check that out. All right, Josh, we're ready. It's Ravens, Browns. Take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. And I used to remember and reminisce in the days I used to go and with my family cut down a tree. But as you get older, I do the fake one, man. I do the fake one.
I've always been a fake tree guy. I've never had a real tree in my entire life.
Well, with you having cats, it's probably not a good thing.
Yeah, my cat does love underneath the tree, but luckily he doesn't climb it.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. And funny story, my coworker's dog she had got a brand new puppy and decided that he was out of the cage strain now, and came home and half the ornaments were on the floor, all shattered.
Needless to say,
the dog got back in the cage.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's fun. I mean, I just decorated my tree this week. Finally got all my ornaments up. My first tree at my new house. So I'm really loving that. But Yeah, I just, you get, just, I've always, everybody has an argument, fake or real, white lights or color lights. I'm like, I'm boring. I'm white lights, fake tree. So I'm like anti-Christmas. Everybody likes the real tree and color lights. I mean, to each is their own. I mean, but that's just my opinion on the take on the, on my personal taste on Christmas trees and whatnot. But, Brandon, it's going to be a great game on Sunday. I know you'll be rooting hard in spirit, you know, using your Jedi powers to wield the Ravens, right?
The Force is strong with them this Sunday.
They better be, and you're right, man. Speaking of that cliche and sticking on it, the Force has to be strong with this team this weekend, man, because of all the head-scratching this team causes us and go, why don't you shadow Brown, you know, with the best corner? Why don't you do this? Why aren't you running at situations? And this team always leaves us frustrated. But what would make us proud is the resilience of this team and go out and fix and correct what's wrong, what you did. You know, I've always lived by the cliche of an old mentor of mine. At the end of the day, no matter if you did a great job or a bad job, what can I do differently and what can I do better? Because we always have something to improve on. And I feel like the Ravens and John Harbaugh, they should adhere to that rule after every practice, after every game. You know, whether they win, okay, we won, but what do we have to work on? What can we do better? And you hear it in John Harbaugh's press conferences, you know, our guys are this and our guys are that. And, oh, we got to get better, especially after a loss. It's always, we got to get better. Well, duh. You know, what are you going to do? I want to see action. They recognize what happened. I want to see them take action this weekend and just take it to Cleveland, man. I want you to stomp them as a team they are. Stop Josh Gordon. You know, stop Crowell. They're running game. They're dangerous. Their defense is pretty tenacious. They don't have a Joe Hayden no more, obviously, as we know from the first week. And but they got Myles Jarrett, number one draft pick, and you know, rightfully so. They're gonna show us a fight, and I'm ready for it. And we just can't have this track game in a letdown. And this game is ultra important for the Ravens playoff races. I can't wait to just get after it. It's going to be intense atmosphere. And with this weekend, we got to start the march to January. Can you believe it? Because it's here. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.